This is Mike Morgan on the field at AirVenture Oshkosh 2017. If you don't own a Cessna 172, odds are you trained in one, you've rented one, or you've ridden in one. There's been more of that airplane manufactured in general aviation than any other plane, but it all started with November 5000 Alpha, owned by Dennis Osment. Dennis, thanks for talking with us.
All right, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Your airplane's been featured over near the Vintage Red Barn much of the week. Talk about how and why you came to acquire the very first Cessna 172.
So probably 7 or 8 years ago, I was looking for a project, and really my goal was to have a flying airplane that really just needed a restoration job done. And I looked for about a year and a half or so, looked at lots of different things, and certainly never thought I would end up with a Cessna 172 of all things. One day I was just plowing through Barnstormers, and I came across an ad for the first 172 for sale. And so I looked into it on a Wednesday and talked to my mechanic. I said, hey, you know, the first 172 is for sale. You know, what do you think about that? And he said, well, you know, that'd be pretty cool to restore. So one thing led to another, and I went to Texas, looked at the plane. Joe Nelson owned it down in McKinney, Texas for 23 years. He planned to restore the plane, but he also wanted to build a kit plane, and he couldn't do both. And so he decided to part ways with 5000 Alpha, and I was at the right place at the right time.
What shape was it in? What did you think when you first saw it?
So mechanically, it's been in great shape. You know, the engine has had about 400 hours or so, flew great, flew like it's supposed to. Cosmetically, it had a lot, it left a lot to be desired. A lot of people here on the field have remember that when it was here in 2006 for the 50th anniversary of the Cessna 172, and unfortunately in 1961 it was repainted blue with white wings, completely wrong, and it was, you know, the paint was rough to say the least.
So what was it before it was painted?
So originally it was just the way it is right now, which is red with parchment white, but the vast majority of the airplane is polished.
So there's paint on probably 10% of the fuselage and a little bit of the V-stab.
That's right. And when they painted it in 1961, to get the paint to stick, you do what you always do, and you scuff the surface. And so the entire surface of the airplane was scuffed with Scotch-Brite. So when we took the paint off, which was difficult enough on its own, we had all this scuffed up aluminum underneath it. So basically, to get it back polished, we had to actually start with sandpaper to sand the scratches out. We started with 800 grit, and then it worked our way up to 1500 grit. And then switching over to our Nuvite F7 and subsequently Nuvite S to finish polishing it.
Well, it is gorgeous like a mirror now. And it's sitting in the bright sun, and it seems like it's always got some people around it.
Yeah, you know, and you know, on the one side you say, okay, it's a nice looking airplane, but again, on the other side, it's a Cessna 172, and it's the first production Cessna 172. Everybody remembers that plane. Every pilot knows what a Cessna 172 is. You know, it's just that, you know, ubiquitous thing that's just always there. Every flight line has one. And, you know, so many people have flown one, and, you know, you'll see folks walk up and they don't take a picture of the plane. They have their picture taken with the plane, which I think is very neat.
They're having a moment.
That's exactly right. It's about memories. It's about remembering their dad's plane or when they got their license, all these memories of aviation.
So how does this plane perform to compared to more modern versions of the 172?
So as far as just flying in general, you know, I think that it has a little more response, has a little nicer rudder control. Now, you know, of course, cruise performance is going to be lower. We're at 145 horsepower versus 180. So there's a difference there, but it's still a 172, so it flies like a 172. One major difference, though, is that the dash is so low. The instrument panels were so small back then that, you know, visibility through the front windscreen is outstanding. Kids sitting in the passenger seat can see over the panel and are not looking out the side window to try to see out front. So kids, I think, really enjoy flying in these old 172s.
So you talked about the fact that the dash is lower and that there's less in the control panel. Did you make any instrumentation changes to kind of bring it up to modern?
Well, very little. And if you look at it the way it is on the flight line, this is exactly the way it came off the showroom floor or the production floor. So we have a Lear radio, which is original. We have all the correct instrumentation. Every instrument is correct. We have the build sheet, so we know exactly what came with the airplane. And so if you look at it today, it looks exactly the same. Now, of course, a Lear radio is not a legal thing to fly anymore. And so, you know, when we get ready to leave, we'll take the Lear radio, which is just basically a cover plate, take that out. And then we have our legal radio and transponder that slide into the same spot. So you really can't see any of that. And then we have, you know, to be ADS-B compliant, we have a GDO 84 in the back. And so when you look at the airplane from the outside, you'll see a WAS antenna, you'll see an ELT antenna, and then the transponder antenna on the bottom. But those are the only visible signals that there's something more than what you actually see.
That big old Venturi tube sticking out the right side here from where we're sitting. So that means the vacuum system, as originally intended, is pretty much there for you.
Yeah, with the O300A, you could not really put a vacuum system. There were attempts at belt-driven vacuum systems that really failed. So really, you have to have some sort of external vacuum system for a O300A Continental. So we still run the Venturi. Venturi works fine, but of course it works by airspeed. And if you don't have much airspeed, you don't have a Venturi, or you don't have a vacuum system.
Now we're talking with a Dennis Osment, who owns November 5000 Alpha, the very first production Cessna 172. The unscheduled guest today is Sean D. Tucker, who you've been hearing in the background as we've been going on. Not a bad thing. Good noise, right?
Absolutely. It's great to be here at Oshkosh hearing those noises.
So this was not your first restoration project, I guess?
No, this is my first restoration process. You know, I take that back. We restored my grandfather's 1953 John Deere 40S, which was a little different than this. But we've always kind of tinkered around. We've certainly never done a project anywhere near this size, though. And given the fact that it was probably a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to find a plane like this, probably won't have the opportunity to do anything like this again. But, you know, we're certainly glad that we have, and we're pretty proud of the outcomes.
Is this a family airplane for you?
It is, and in fact, my son and I flew the plane last April down to South Arkansas, where I grew up. My parents still live, and so that's about 800 nautical mile round trip for us from Quincy, Illinois. And my son certainly loves to fly, and so we enjoy flying the airplane.
Let's talk about the engine a little bit. What kind of care and feeding did that require when you acquired it?
So it is the original engine with the original logbooks. And, of course, through the years, it's been overhauled several times. So, basically, we can say we have the original data plate, probably the original case halves. Everything else likely has been replaced. It has been overhauled several times. We're right around 450 hours on the engine right now. It runs great, no issues at all with the engine. And really, as part of the restoration, that is really the one part that we did not touch. You know, we overhauled the prop. We, of course, did the entire airframe. But we really didn't even touch the engine itself other than doing oil changes.
That's wonderful. Actually, I'm kind of surprised that you didn't zero time the engine as part of the restoration, but why if you don't need to, right?
That's right. It less than 450 hours when we started with the restoration. Plenty of time left with the engine. You don't kill an engine just because you're there. I'd say just wait until it's ready, and then we'll do it.
How about the interior upholstery and such?
So, when when we took the seat covers off that were on the plane when we got it, which were blue, supposed to be red, we did have pieces and parts of the original material and fabric underneath the seats. Historically, the seat fabric is 1955 Oldsmobile. And so, and you think back then, an airplane manufacturer would go to a car manufacturer and use their upholstery. So we actually were able to acquire 1955 Oldsmobile new old stock fabric. We had the interior fabricated by Dennis Walters out at AirMod in Ohio, and he was on board to make it historically accurate, making sure the seams were stitched the correct way. And, I mean, just every little detail, which was what I needed. This is an important airplane to me, and it's an important airplane to a lot of folks. And so there's only one way, and that was the right way.
That's just sounds so wonderful. At this moment, I haven't seen inside the airplane yet, so I'm going to be looking forward to that. What should I be looking at or looking for?
So one interesting thing is, back then, Safelite was actually doing kind of a rudimentary angle of attack system, and it actually has an AOA on the panel, and it's on the build sheet, and it was called the SC-12 speed controller. So at the moment, we have the indicator on the dash, we have the instrument out in the right wing, which actually looks like a regular stall warning, but it's angle of attack. What we don't have at the moment is the computer that connects the two up. One of the wonderful things about being here at Oshkosh is that we had a family come up and were actually talking to my dad and asked what does not work. And he told them, and they said, oh, well, we just got a 180, that 1958 180 that we've gone through, and it had that SC-12 system in it. We have it in a garbage bag out in the hangar. We'll fix you up. And it was working before they took it out. And so I think that we're going to be able to get that system working again.
Dennis Osment is the owner of November 5000A, the very first production Cessna 172. On the field at AirVenture Oshkosh 2017, I'm Mike Morgan.